We often talk of peace in the context of war, but this is a very narrow and restricted notion of peace. Peace is deeply linked with the entirety of human life. Peace is a complete ideology in itself. Peace is the only religion for both man and the universe. It is the master key that opens the doors to every success. Peace creates a favorable atmosphere for success in every endeavor. Without peace, no positive action, small or big, is possible. Prophetic wisdom. There are five instances in the Quran where one of the responsibilities of the Prophet Muhammad is mentioned as teaching wisdom to the people. If we search in the dictionary to find out a clear definition of wisdom, we do not find a clear definition. The dictionary will explain wisdom as the quality of having good judgment. However, the dictionary fails to answer how a person develops this ability to make a good decision. This prompted some scholars to suggest that wisdom is one of those qualities difficult to define. www.psychologytoday.com. Basics, wisdom. Although the teaching of wisdom is an attribute of the Prophet of Islam, a literal definition of wisdom in the works of Hadith reports could not be found. Another approach is to search for examples of wisdom in his practices. The Prophet Muhammad was a man of wisdom. Therefore, such a search is bound to bear fruit. This approach of developing a definition of wisdom from the practical model of the Prophet did indeed bring a positive result. Now, an academic definition of wisdom can be formulated. This definition is wisdom. It is the ability to discover the relevant by sorting out the irrelevant. The life of the Prophet is, according to this definition, a perfect example of wisdom. He practiced this wisdom throughout his 23 years of prophetic life, and this wisdom was the main reason for his stupendous 14 success. The Prophet of Islam was truly the Prophet of Wisdom. Being a prophet and a man of wisdom, his practical model became worthy of emulation. The following is a selection of some of the words as well as deeds of the Prophet that are the hallmarks of wise thinking. The wisdom behind these words and deeds will bear tremendous success to those who inculcate it in their thoughts and actions. Rethinking your strategies. The Prophet started his mission in ancient Makkah. The people of Makkah opposed his message. They even gave him an ultimatum to leave Makkah or stay there to be killed by them. Under these circumstances, he left Makkah and quietly came to Madinah and settled there. Shortly before the migration, he said to his companions, "I have been ordered to migrate to a town which will swallow, conquer, other towns and is called Yathrib, and that is Madinah." Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith No. 1871. According to common practice, a person does not leave his native country easily. He engages in every effort to keep staying there. But the Prophet accepted this decision of the chiefs of ancient Makkah and quietly settled in Madinah. In terms of results, this decision was a very wise act. The wisdom behind this act can be described thus: if the first plan does not work, then quietly make a second plan of action by adopting a low-profile method. The Prophet adopted this wisdom and came to Madinah peacefully. He planned his mission all over anew. This method was so successful that within just 10 years, first Makkah and then the whole of Arabia came under the fold of Islam. In antagonistic situations, people usually think with a confrontational mind and adopt a confrontational approach. But the Prophet took the method of replanning instead of confrontation, and history bears witness that his strategy was completely successful. He sees Islam as a personal struggle for faith in God and sincere reaching out to God in pursuit of a life of piety. Simply put, he is emphatically opposed to any political understanding of Islam. To him, the political struggles of Muslims around the world cannot and must not be promoted on the basis of Islamic teachings. Islamic lifestyle and culture are decisively separate from any worldly matters that engage Muslims. This does not necessarily imply a dichotomized view of being Muslim in an increasingly secular world. It simply disallows the construction of an artificial connection between Islam's religious calling and Muslims' worldly challenges. Khan does not denounce politics as such, but he argues that politics is a matter of choice, whereas Islam is not. One may or may not take up a political cause such as a separatist movement organized in Kashmir, but one must not confuse such causes with Islam. Islam and the other. Maulana Khan's perception of the world does not include the other. He is critical of the generally dichotomized view of some Muslim leaders, who interpret Islam as an ideology pitted against other, in their view, deviant ideologies, that is, the worldview which sees us versus them, without regard for the complications that such a worldview may pose in the real world. In fact, the ideologizing of Islam has reached a point where in some Muslim groups, the process of identifying us is limited to those who subscribe to the narrow interpretations of that group. Thus rhetorically, us for such groups may rhetorically mean all Muslims, but in reality, it includes only those who agree with the authoritative voice that speaks on behalf of the group while claiming to speak on behalf of the whole of Islam itself. Khan deconstructs this ideological worldview presented in the name of faith. He understands Islam, an individual's quiet surrender to the will of God, as primarily a personal relationship between the believer and God. This understanding of Islam, he argues, emanates from the Quran and was lived out by Prophet Muhammad, as evidenced through a careful study of his life. The Al-Risala movement today represents a growing number of Muslims, many of whom come from the intellectual and managerial classes. The movement has many followers, who work independently and are not dues-paying members. Through his continuous efforts, Maulana Khan aims to transform attitudes by infusing what he calls a moral spirit in the practice of Islam, particularly in regard to relations with the so-called other. Today Khan's following includes not only Muslims, but also Hindus, and people from other faiths, whose participation has added a whole new layer of complexity to this unique Islamic movement, and has also confirmed his own belief that the moral campaign alone is the heart and soul of Islamic revivalism. Key objectives of the Al-Risala movement. As far as one can glean from the collective writings of Maulana Khan, the Al-Risala movement seems to be emphasizing two main principles. Muslims need to exercise greater self-criticism, and not be ashamed of the past mistakes of their forebears. They must not be bound to history and should not insist on glorifying it, especially since it is known to contain many less than glorious moments. Muslims should engage in ijtihad and rethink and articulate anew the core message of Islam, in light of modern challenges and its applications. This amounts to reform from within. The key components of this rethinking are nonviolence and reconciliation. B. Muslims must engage in dialogue with others, with an intention to invite them to learn about Islam, because of the present realities of Indian polity. Muslims thus need to reorient themselves to living in a pluralistic and multicultural ethos. They must develop intercultural, interreligious, and interethnic relations to cooperate on issues such as providing greater access to education and inculcating moral values. Khan believes that this form of activism, which to him is utterly Islamic, would attract others to Islam and hence allow Muslims to carry out one of their core Islamic duties of calling people to Islam, avoiding chain reaction. The Prophet along with his companions conquered Makkah in AD 629. When he entered Makkah, he asked it to be announced that whoever returned to their homes, and those who surrendered would be provided immunity. After this, the Moccan people gathered in the courtyard of the Kaaba. The Prophet asked them, "What do you say now, and what do you think would be done to you?" They replied, "We consider you to be our nephew, and the noble and merciful son of our uncle." He said, "I will say today what the Prophet Joseph had said to his brothers, there is no blame on you today, may God forgive you, and he is more merciful than all who show mercy." Al-Sunan and Al-Kubra al-Bayhaqi, Hadith No. 18275, these were the people who had persecuted the Prophet severely, expelled him from his homeland, and waged wars against him repeatedly. According to the law of the land, they were undoubtedly prisoners of war. However, the Prophet did not take revenge against them. Rather, he let them go unconditionally. It was not a simple decision. By taking this decision, he saved the people of ancient Makkah from taking retaliatory action ever again. Taking an action of revenge would have given impetus to a chain reaction from the Moccans. Silence is action. An advice of the Prophet is mentioned in books of Hadith when the Imam, the person leading the prayers, is delivering the khutbah, sermon, and you ask your companion to keep quiet and listen, then no doubt you have done an evil act. Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith No. 934, if the Imam of the mosque is giving a Friday sermon, and a person speaks at that time, then the listener should silence him with a gesture. If he speaks to silence him, it will be considered an insensible act, because earlier only one person was speaking. Now there are two people speaking. It means the problem had increased twofold. This type of method is undoubtedly imprudent. The wisdom behind this advice is related not just to the prayer at the mosque, but it is related to our whole life. It happens time and again in collective life that interfering in a matter makes it worse. On such occasions, the wise policy is that a person should adopt the method of silence. He should not interfere and make the matter more complicated. The wise person knows when to act and when not to act. He knows when to speak and when to keep quiet, when to move forward and when to retreat, when to take action and when to refrain from action to the last extent, when to try to win and when to give up. Those who possess this wisdom succeed in this world, and those who are unaware of this wisdom, their only end is to jump into a matter without thinking and then never find a satisfactory conclusion. Sustainable action. The Prophet of Islam said, "The most pleasing deed in the sight of God is that which is durable." Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith No. 6464. Any real success in this world always takes time, So the best course of action is that which is sustainable. Therefore, a result-oriented action in this world is sustainable. Such an action is in accordance with the law of nature. The man should plan his actions before taking an initiative. He should review all related matters. He should make a thorough assessment of his abilities and available resources, as well as the prevailing circumstances. Only then should he start his work according to a well-thought-out plan. Once he starts working at it, he should never leave it in the middle. This is the way to achieve success in life. Being aware of the times. A saying of the Prophet guides us in this manner. A wise man must be cognizant of his time. Sahih Ibn Hibban, Hadith No. 361. This saying of the Prophet of Islam explains the perfection of human knowledge. It is not sufficient for a person to be conversant with bookish knowledge and the traditions of the past. Rather, he needs to be aware of his times, of the past as well as the present. The importance of knowing the times is both rational and practical. Without this, he fails to understand things in the universal context. Therefore, an in-depth analysis of reality is not possible. Thus, in practical terms, he is a flawed person. He fails to know how to apply the eternal truths to the conditions of the time. Such a person cannot successfully plan his actions. A person should reflect on the fact that he is helpless in every respect, that he cannot survive even for a moment without the life support system on earth. Even within the life support system, a virus, e.g., COVID-19, invisible to the naked eye, renders him weak and helpless. These events serve to teach us that man is not the master of the world. The master of this world is God, the Lord of the universe, who is running it. Therefore, it is proper for man to surrender himself before his Creator.